Well, good afternoon, brethren. You look like a cool bunch. We're here. It's air conditioned. I don't know why we should have outdoor services sometime, right? I know we won't pick today, though. Well, I like to welcome our visitors. It's always good to see old friends, new faces. Mrs. Hudson here, I thought I always wanted to meet somebody that was a relative of Rock Hudson, but she said, no. The name is spelled different, no relation. We all like to share different experiences, don't we? We get together as a group. We talk about a lot of things. We usually try to cover everything from A to Z. Well, a very dear friend of mine of 46 years came over for a visit one afternoon. And with a fresh pot of coffee, because I knew the friend was coming, we sat down and we started to share our life's experiences. I'm sure you've all done that. I'm sure I'm not the only one. And we covered childhood, everything in between, up until the present. Have you ever looked at your life in 10-year increments? Because that's what we were doing. You sort of broke it down. I mean, you look at your life of almost 70-plus years for me, and some of the younger ones, it's probably maybe 2 10-year increments, or maybe 10 plus a few years, but that's going to build and that's going to grow. And it's interesting that when you break your life up like that, certain things come into focus. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about. Let's notice 4 periods of time and see how God has intervened in our lives. And you're going to see as you look back, looking at it now, they say hindsight is 20/20, looking back. We've seen the hand of God in our lives. And I'm sure each and every one of you will experience the same thing. At the time, you didn't know that. You didn't know that God was looking out for you. Maybe you did. Maybe you did. But in my case, I didn't. Let's look at the first one. I call it happy times. Family foundation. Now, I hope all of you had a good family foundation when you were growing up. And in case you haven't, God seen you through that. He blessed you through that. I'm sure that was a big trial. But in my case, I had a good family upbringing, something that we don't see too much today. In Proverbs 22:6, I'll just refer to that. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in a way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's turn to Ephesians 6:1-4. I'm going to read that. And it sort of fits into the point that I want to make to sort of expound on that. Ephesians 6 and verse 1-4. This is from the New King James Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and your father, for this is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live a long life on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. My mother and dad were really not all that religious per se. My mother was. My dad believed in God. We had some very good conversations at times. I remember one time we were out in the backyard. It was at night and just looking up at the stars. And I made a comment. I said, boy, Dad, I said, this thing, God calls every one of them by name. He says, I believe in God. I believe in God. I don't go to church like your mother does. But I believe in God in my own way. Try to serve him the best way that I can. But he wasn't. I was very Catholic. My dad was Methodist, and in his family, he really didn't come from a religious family. But he believed in God, and that was a good foundation that I sort of grew up in. And I hope yours was the same way. And when you look back, I want you to think about that. Think about the foundation that you were reared on, because whatever it was, God was preparing you for what he had in mind later on down the road. Parents taught respect. Taught me respect. showed us love. Hard work. My mother and dad were born just before the First World War broke out. I think some of you look back, your parents probably did, or I'm sure your grandparents, probably even before that time. Hard work. My mother and dad were reared on a farm. I don't know, probably most of your parents were probably reared on a farm at that time period. Because if I remember right, I remember reading it's something like 85% of the industry in this country at that time was agrarian. It was just really on the verge of the, we call it industrial revolution per se, but the bulk of the families lived on farms. That's hard work. Something that really the teens really need today. They didn't have a whole lot. They didn't have a whole lot, but what they had, they shared. Principles that were really sort of instilled in us as a young boy growing up, I appreciated that. I really did. My mother and dad really didn't have a whole lot, but what they had, we were thankful for. Trips to grandparents. Old-fashioned cooking. How many of you remember grandma's cooking? Come on, raise your hand. Every one of your hands should go up. Didn't run to the store and get something out of a can. Didn't open up a box. Everything was from scratch. Boy, times have changed. But most of that food came right from the ground, didn't it? Right from the ground. Ground up. Hard work. Hard work. From their garden. Some of you still have gardens. A picture is beginning to develop, I hope, in your mind, as it was in mine, as we went through our discussion together and thinking about what it was like growing up. I was born in 1940. Some of you were probably born a little before that, I'm sure. My kidder, I think, was 1930 or something like that. But we remember those times, and it was hard, and it was rough. But life was like a bowl of cherries. And I like to use that as an introduction for a title. Cherries have pits. Cherries do have pits. And when I was growing up, it was like a bowl of cherries. Every day was like a bowl of cherries. It was good. We had a lot of fun. Hey, we made mistakes. I remember one time I was out in the alley playing in the tire truck just went through the alley. And I was maybe, three or four years old. And kids like to play in tar. At least I did. And I came into the house, and I had tar all over me. So Grandma, in her love, took me into the bathroom, put me in the bathtub, and she got the tar off me. She didn't beat me to tar, but she got the tar off me using a washcloth and Bon Ami. How many of you remember Bon Ami? Oh, now I know what an Indian looks like. Man, I had so much. I went in pretty, I guess, black and white, and I came out more red, I guess, because the tar was missing. But Grandma set me out on the table, glass of milk, and a cookie, and told me why I should not play in tar. Can you do that today? Can you honestly do that today? When you look back in your life, wasn't it nice? Wasn't that a happy time? That's why I call it happy times. Today, you have to be careful how you rear your children. They could call the police department on you for child abuse. But life really was a bowl of cherries. But life isn't all cherries, isn't it? You bite into a cherry, aren't they good? Good, juicy, succulent cherries? Point number two. Those happy times are filled with difficult times too, aren't they? Cherries do have pits. Cherries do have pits. You ever bite into a cherry? And you notice that they have a pit, don't they? But you don't know it, you don't focus on it, you sort of take it out, throw it away, and you just enjoy the cherry. But what happens when you bite into the cherry and you notice the pit and you say, ouch? That's where the difficult time comes in. Our focus changes, and our focus changed big time when John 6:44 came into our lives. And you know what that verse says? You've committed to memory. I have. No man can come unto me except the Father draws him. Father's direct hand in your calling. We talked about that. We shared that experience together. Wow. Wasn't that an interesting time? Wow. The cherry of truth. The juices were just flowing down your face and in your mind as you were taking it in. Let's turn to Matthew 12. This is where the difficult time came in. And it's hard for people today to really understand this because they really don't put themselves into it. Matthew 12 and verse 31. Must have copied down the wrong scripture. We're talking about where Christ says, I come not to bring peace, but a sword, and that the enemies that you have will be those of your own household, and he will bring father against mother. Mother and father against their children, against their grandparents, and that your enemies will be those of your own household. Wasn't that a big pit that I call? Wasn't that a big pit to deal with? You found out 2 and 2 is not 5. Because that's how the world lives their life. 2 and 2 is 5. But no, 2 and 2 is 4. 2 and 2 is 4. That's the correct answer. In John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How free did you feel at that time when you went to your mother and father and your family? And when the holidays came up, You had a big change in your thinking. Big change. Hey, you were a part of this for, how old were you when God called you? I was called at a very young age, and I'm thankful for that. Some of you that are brought up in God's church never really experienced that aspect of what that verse is saying. Because you never really had to come out of that per se, because your parents always adhere to the laws of God. You never really experienced the other side of it. Well, you did with your friends. You did with your school buddies, with those that you associated with. And you looked at what they had, and you looked at what you had, and what God gave your parents, and hopefully what they were passing on down to you. But you still had to deal with that, didn't you? Didn't that hurt? Didn't that hurt? Wasn't that a difficult time? I remember, my mother and dad were really big on Christmas time. Oh, I mean, that was a big thing in our family. I'm sure, I don't know what it was in yours. I received my first electric train set. I'll never forget, American Flyer. Go around the tree. I didn't care about the tree. I just liked the train. Play with the train. Girls got their dolls or just whatever. But to do away with that, and when you start explaining the reasons why, you just, you go up to them and you want to make these changes. They want to know the reason why. Why are you changing so much? Well, you tell them, Dad, 2 and 2 is not 5. 2 and 2 is 4. And you start bringing in the godly principles to them the best way that you can. But you realize the cherries have pits. Cherries do have pits. And the pit becomes the focus. The pit was the focus at that time. Family, friends, job. How free did you feel? Did you really feel free at that time? It was sort of mixed emotions. I'm sure, I hope I'm not the only one to really experience that. You were like joyful on one side, but you sort of felt the alienation on the other side, didn't you? And it's like that family cohesiveness that you were sort of brought up in, sort of had a little taint to it, didn't it? It's that pit, that pit that you really don't eat, you can't digest it, you want to spit it out, you want to throw it away. Well, that's what you were doing, but they wanted to hang on to it. New commitment. But you had to realize that the pit is part of the cherry, isn't it? It's part of the cherry. My wife was saying, yeah, but you can get seedless cherries. I don't know, you get seedless cherries, I don't get seedless grapes. I don't know if you can get seedless cherries. Unless you buy them out of the can. Point one and two that I just briefly described to you, and I'm sure you're going to add your own thoughts to it. You know, it's good when you get together and sort of break up your life in that framework, in those 10-year increments, and you can really see God's hand in it. Unbeknown to you at the time, but here, point three, the quiet times. The quiet times, prayer and meditation. When you look back at your life, and we should do that from time to time. And some of your experiences are going to be painful. They're going to be painful. But you learn from them. That's where the cherry comes back in. And what you learned. Because you're not going through anything that God has not experienced himself. Did Christ have any pits in his life? Did he? Or was his life nothing but a bowl of cherries? I don't think so. And our life is the same way. The happy times and difficult times now come into a different focus, don't they? Through prayer. Growing up, I just learned the Lord's Prayer. You know, as most of you probably did too. And it's just, you know, a rehearsed prayer, Matthew 6:9-13. You never really broke it down in each of the points that prayer is really focusing on. We just recited it, then threw in a few Hail Marys if you're Catholic. Seeing your life and calling as a whole, as God does. That's what prayer does. Seeing your life as a whole, as God sees it. Life-threatening experiences. Have you had any of those? When you were young, when you were growing up, did you ever have an experience where your life was spared? Just think about it. Think about it. Who spared that life? Who spared that life? I almost died before my mother told me this. I almost died before the age of, I was not quite 2 years old. Not quite two. And I almost died. She took me to the doctor and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. And there was something with her mother's milk wasn't right. And it was having an adverse effect on me. And it almost to the point to where I almost died. Another time, I think it was maybe about 3 or 4, my dad was, we were out in the country and at night, and he came around a curve and he had to miss another vehicle, and a crash occurred. And I was thrown out of the car. I was in the back seat. And, my aunt was sort of holding me, as they related the story later on. And she was thrown out of the car holding me. And they found me under the back wheel, under the rear bumper, under the back wheel, almost on my chest. Just a little baby. I mean, you get thrown around pretty easy. But I'm sure you have different memories in your own life. I don't equate that to chance. There are some people that, well, there'll be an announcement later on that some of you are already aware of. Don't ever take your guidance and your protection for granted. Don't ever do that. God's hand is in every aspect of our life, even when we don't realize it, and even when we don't even give him the credit, it's there. It's there because he started a good work in each of us and he wants to finish that work. In Luke 21:36, where it says, watch and pray always. Watch and pray always. Were there times when you felt weak on your knees? There were times when you could hardly stand up? I've had those moments. I'm sure you have. And God gives those to us for a reason. And as I heard a minister say one time, I don't remember who said it, but he said, when your knees are shaking and knocking, it's time to get down and kneel on them. Get down and kneel on them. That's the prayer. That's the prayer, because now you're going to the source of who has been in your life and has brought you to that point right now, at that moment. And that's your focus. And that's what you're meditating on. And that's where everything, your whole life, begins to come into focus as God sees it. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Let's turn there and let's look at that. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Fascinating scripture. I'll have a quote on Isaiah a little bit later on. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient things that are not yet seen, saying, my counsel shall stand. Of course, this is in the context of Israel, and specifically Judah, in the captivity that they were going to go in. But put it in the context of your life. God declaring the end from the beginning as how he was in your life and sort of leading you and guiding you. How many instances in your life where somebody came to the rescue and sort of saved you from something? Have you? I'm sure you've all experienced that. You were actually saved. You didn't know how it happened. You don't know where it came. Why did this person come at that particular moment to do what they did? When I started my career at Master Lock, we had to work, I think 90 days before you were entered into the union. They let you know, like a 90-day trial period. And I was dating Sandy at the time. We weren't married, and we were involved in a car accident that necessitated taking time off of work to talk to lawyers, court appearances, and all that. And when you're on a probationary period, that don't go too good with your boss. And my mother related this to me. At the time it was happening, I had no idea that this was going on in the background. But she got wind that before I entered the union, that my boss was going to terminate me because I took off so much and I was really not dependable. So my mother had a pretty good relationship with the superintendent. She went up and talked to him. And she said, well, he said, I want to have my son Dale, terminate his employment here. He said, because my boss at the time was, she got winded that he was ready to fire me. And she laid the circumstances down, that was connected with that. And he says, Eleanor, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. So I came to work one day, and my boss was furious. Oh, man. And I had no idea. He says, what? Your mother went up to the superintendent and telling me all kinds of things about why I should not fire you and why you, you should remain employed here. And the superintendent raked him over the coals pretty good. So that started my 40-year career in Master Lock. I never forgot that. Who was behind all of it? Who put that thought on my mother's mind? It's amazing. And I'm sure you have instances in your life too. Who? I mean, God can inspire anybody to do anything for you at any time. And I'm sure he has. He has. When we thank God, when you look in your life and when you sort of bring it all into focus, look at all of those points that you see and you thank him for that. And that's going to bring you closer to him because it's that unseen hand that was guarding your life and leading you. Read Psalm 119, verse 97 and verse 99. I'll just read them for you. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. The juicy cherries the juicy cherries with no pits because you spit them out, because you have now been dealing with them. That's where prayer and meditation is so important. Because God declares the end from the beginning, and He's going to remove the pit, and He's going to give you a cherry when you're in the kingdom of God and when the white throne judgment comes, and you're going to see your mother and your dad, and you're going to see those that you have, that you agonized over in this life at their loss. That God is preparing you for that, to be there, and think of the stories that you're going to be able to tell. Think of those stories. But He's preparing you for that now. Well, from quiet times, from family times, quiet times, prayer, meditation, to painful times, the painful times. I ran across a quote that didn't give the author of this, but lessons learned, enduring pain is just as important as the relief of pain. You have to endure it, and then the release will come. My wife, as a little girl, was in a orphanage for a short period of time. I don't know if you knew that or not. But it was just, you know, a rough time during the Second World War, and that's the way it had to be. Pain is an enemy. It's a cherry pit. They can become a cherry pit. But sometimes they're hard to throw out, aren't they? They become lodged in your throat, and you got to deal with them. You got to deal with them. But we have Christ promised that He will not leave us orphans. I think of a lot about Abraham's, when God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. You know, he probably asked God, why? Why? Why sacrifice his son? But he did. You have probably read that that little poem, Footprints in the Sand. Pictures God carrying us. God was carrying Abraham at that time. And he was carrying his own son, Jesus Christ, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just as he carries us. He was carrying us. Isaiah 41, verse 13, "For I, the Eternal, your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." When God gets done carrying us and we realize that He has carried us, now Amos 3:3 comes into focus. Now we're walking with God hand in hand. See the difference? First He carries us, He picks us up and carries us. When He sets us down on our feet, we lock arm in arm with Him and hand to hand, and we move forward. I love that poem. I don't know if you ever quite looked at it like that before. "I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works." That's what prayer with meditation, that's how it all comes together. Make that a part of your life as you sort of play those thoughts back in your mind, and you move back and then move forward. The picture becomes a lot clearer. Life at times does seem like a bowl of cherries. Don't forget that our calling encounters pits also. I'd like to read something in conclusion from the Sansino books of the Bible on Isaiah. And this is in the introduction on the prophet. And as I read this, as it was Isaiah's mindset, may it be ours also. This is on page 10. He was justly described as one standing with his head in the clouds and his feet on the solid earth, with his heart in the things of eternity, and with his hands and mouth in the things of time. God's calling. We're looking forward to the kingdom. But we have to deal with the things of time right now. With his spirit in the eternal counsel of God, prayer and meditation, and his body in a very definite moment in history. We are. This is our calling. This is our only calling. Let's make it count. Put down 1 Peter 2:9. I won't read it. You can look that up yourself. And when you read that, think of what our calling really is. It really is a bowl of cherries.